हरे हरे राम, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, कृष्ण 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 हरे, राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे,
विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने, विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने, नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरमुनि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पशुप्रदेशकारिणे, नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चादेशकारिणे, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय द्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृंद, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिवसादि गो भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोविंदन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन 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 यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे
శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదానంద గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదానికి జయం తిల ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణు పాద పరమహంస పరిప్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శరశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది వర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కృష్ణపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ మధురేశ్వరి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం ప్రజాయణ విశేషన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാഖയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാമഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തിയം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരും ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധോഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം. അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീമം ബദ്ധ്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതമത്ര നേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൽ. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനീ സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So, in Bhagavad Gita, what we were discussing so far today is more or less coming to the end of 9th chapter. Just to get a feel for the previous chapters and also to know how Bhagavad Gita progresses from chapter 1. Chapter 1 is Arjuna's Vishada Yogam. Arjuna Vishada Yogam, it is called when Arjuna was in unhappiness. He was very unhappy about the war he had to fight. And in the first chapter you will also notice that Arjuna was not a person who had any difficulty in fighting. He has fought so many wars before this. And today Arjuna finds himself in a predicament how to fight a war with his own teachers and the relatives and so many others who are very dear to him. And that is why Arjuna fell into that unhappy situation, Arjuna Vishada Yogam. The interesting thing here is Arjuna's Vishadam has become a Yogam. It is very difficult to understand how that happens. That Vishadam is distress. Arjuna's distress has become developed into a Yogam. So Vedavyasa Maharshi calls it as Arjuna Vishada Yogam because it is this Vishadam or the distress of Arjuna that brought him to Krishna. That forced him to ask Krishna some searching questions in the subsequent chapters. So in the second chapter, Krishna starts replying Arjuna with the what is known as Sankhya Yogam. It is called as Sankhya Yogam, the chapter, but purely it is the spiritual knowledge. What Krishna refers to Arjuna to understand his true identity begins with very, very powerful verses in that. If you can notice that, there are so many powerful verses from verse 10 onwards. All that in verses should be kept in memory and should be constantly reflected on because they are such powerful and potential verses. Anyone who reflects those 10-15 verses from verse 10 onwards, they will understand that what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it's difficult to understand because Krishna says in the beginning itself that Ashochyan Anyashojastvam Prajnavadamsha Bhashase, that speaking learned things is no use, Krishna says. It's no use talking big things. So just like our great pandits and great scholars in this world, they talk all big things. But Krishna says, if you do not understand Ashochyan Anyashojastvam Prajnavadamsha Bhashase, Gadasuna Gadasamsha Nanishojani Panditaha, that one should not lament neither for the living nor for the dead. He doesn't care about that. Agama Bhainandyam. That keeps coming and going in this world. But behind all these things, there is something permanent. That is the spirit soul. And when one falls from that platform of spiritual nature or spiritual identity into material consciousness, then he is no more a Pandita. This is what Krishna is stressing there in that second chapter. And in order to establish that, Krishna has spoken about the power of the soul, the characteristics of the soul and the different attributes of the soul, so that people understand that the spiritual nature of a living entity is far, far important than the material identity of material body. So in order to fix our mind completely on the spiritual platform, Krishna spoke that very, very powerful verses from verse 10 onwards. Ashochyananyashojastvam Prajnavadamsha Bhashase Gadhasuna Gadhasumsha Nanishochandi Panditaha. Pandita, learned people, does not lament neither for the living nor for the dead who come and goes. He is established in his spiritual identity. That Krishna begins like that. And then so many other verses from then on talks only about the spiritual nature of the soul, spiritual identity of the individual living entity. Because due to our own ignorance and also due to our own lower modes of nature influencing us, we are unable to get over our material identity. A material identity means this material body. So Krishna says, unless you rise above these things and come to the spiritual identity, it is difficult to understand what spiritual life is. And that is why he starts educating Arjuna from then on. So as soon as Krishna spoke about these powerful verses or the powerful words about the spiritual identity of the individual, Krishna then talk about karmam, the importance of karmam and karma yogam. So jnanam and karmam, these are the two topics discussed in the second chapter. Second chapter, Prabhupada calls it as the contents of Gita summarized. And in the same chapter, these are the two topics Krishna has discussed, jnanam and karmam. Jnanam and karmam are the two tools that's been given to us by Krishna. When we come to this world and when we grow up, what happens? We develop our knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge of this world, knowledge of the various activities of this world, we start discriminating good activities, bad activities, pious activities, sinful activities, and similarly activities which are conducive for spiritual life, which are detrimental for spiritual life. Like this, every activity in this world can be classified into one group or the other. So based on that, Krishna is saying there that the jnanam is an important thing. Knowledge is necessary. Without knowledge one cannot act, Krishna says. And also, when one has to, how to act, that is the science of karma. In other words, karma yogam is discussed in the second chapter. So two things, jnanam and karmam, Krishna has covered in the second chapter. While discussing karmam, Krishna talked about the four principles of karma yogam. What are they? Karmanyevadhikaraste, number one. Ma bhaleshu kadachana, number two. Ma karma balahe durbhur, number three. Vado sangostha karmani. Four things. Krishna explains that in the second chapter. This is the importance of karmam, Krishna says. Chatur sutrams they are called, the four sutras or techniques of karmam. If one understands that and one is acting on that level, he will become karma yogi. Krishna's introduction to karma yogam begins from there itself. Although it is discussed in the third chapter, Krishna discusses karma yogam even in the second chapter. There itself Krishna begins. After talking about that, Arjuna asked Krishna an important question, that if it is like this, jnanam and karmam are the two important things, is there someone who has that, who has attained that status, and how does he function in this world? How does he walk? How does he eat? How does he sleep? And how does he talk? So many questions Krishna, Arjuna asked Krishna. In reply to that, Krishna says, the characteristics of such a person, there are many. When we discuss second chapter, we told, in the Mahabharata itself, you will find so many personalities. Veda Vyasa Maharshi himself is one of those personalities. Kunti Devi, Bhishma Vidamaha, Vidura, they are all personalities who have developed into this state of consciousness. They have acted in this world purely on the platform of Karma Yogam. So therefore, Krishna leaving them as all examples there. Krishna spoke about the activities of such a person. Yanisha sarvabhudanam yasya jagre samyami yasya jagrati bhudani sanisha pashyado mune. That a person who is advanced in spiritual life, who has gone beyond the material identity, he does not consider himself to be a part of the material world. He does not identify himself with the material world. So their activities are completely different from the materialist. Krishna explains that in that verse. And at the after hearing this whole long chapter of 72 verses or so in the second chapter, Arjuna was in a little bit confused state of mind. And it is that confusion that comes up in the beginning of the third chapter. The confusion came up like this. Arjuna says to Krishna, you spoke to me about jnanam, about knowledge. And then you spoke to me about karmam also. Which out of these two, which one should I take? What is my duty? It was in relationship with that Krishna talks about Karma Yogam. And this Karma Yogam chapter of Bhagavad Gita is one of the most important chapters. And great scholars have glorified Krishna for presenting Karma Yogam in this particular way in the Bhagavad Gita, which is slightly different than the Karma Yogam in the Vedas. Karma Yogam in the Vedas is different. That Karma Yogam is not practical anymore. But Krishna, out of his causeless mercy to the living entities, he presented Karma Yogam. Only Krishna has the authority to do so. And all the great acharyas and great devotees, they have glorified Krishna for presenting Karma Yogam in the pattern it is discussed in the third chapter, where Krishna talks about Karma Yogam from different angles. And eventually Krishna says there that everything has to become ultimately yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifice. Yajnam is the principle on which this whole creation functions. Krishna says there. The whole creation is going on based on this yajnam. So if yajnam is not understood, evam pravartinam chakram nanu vartayadi ihaya akhayu indriya ramo moham partha sajivadi. Krishna says to Arjuna, if you do not become a part of this yajna chakram or this karma chakram, what is rotating in this world, you have to be a part of that. You cannot stay away from that. And therefore, Krishna is also warning Arjuna that as a kshatriya, he has to perform his duty. He cannot stay away from that. But to perform that duty in the proper consciousness, that is what Krishna was educating Arjuna in the third chapter through Karma Yogam. So, when Karma Yogam was heard, you will find that the end of Karma Yogam, Krishna talks about various things there. Then Krishna says there that the
this karma chakram, which is continuously rotating, you cannot stay away from that. And Krishna says about himself that I am also a part of that chakram when I am here. I do not stay away from that. Yadyada jarati shreshtam tatta evedaro jana sayal pramanam kurude logasthadanu vartade. Because if I do not act in that way, others will follow me and they will also fall down in that. I do not fall down, but because if I act in that particular way, others will tend to follow me. Therefore Krishna has acted in this world. Na buddhi vedam janayel ajnanam karma sanginam joshayel sarvakarmani vidvaniyukta samacharan. Those who are inclined in karma, one should not create any buddhi vedam in them. Buddhi vedam means confuse them by talking about things which they are not, which they cannot execute. Na buddhi vedam janayel, Krishna says in the third chapter, ajnanam karma sanginam, because they are addicted to karma. Karma means their karma means the process they have taken, and one should not drive them away from the process of karma. That is what Krishna has discussed in that chapter. And at the very end of that chapter, Krishna spoke about one or two things, particularly in reference to what happens to the person who is influenced by Rajogunam. Now Rajogunam is the cause of everything. Rajogunam, karma also comes from Rajogunam. Rajodiyaha karma varaha. Bhagavatam says like that. Rajodiyaha karma varaha. That karma also comes from Rajogunam. But this Rajogunam, if it is not properly handled, it can develop into lust and anger. That's what Krishna says there. Kamayesha krodhayesha Rajoguna samulbhavaha. From Rajogunam only kamam and krodham comes. Lust and anger comes from Rajogunam. So therefore, unless one controls Rajogunam, Krishna says, Mahashano mahapapna vidyene mahamairinam. That it is such a overpowering thing, this Rajogunam, that it will become continuously, it will take away the person's intelligence and he will eventually fall down. All those things Krishna has discussed in the third chapter while discussing Karma Yogam. So it was then that in the fourth chapter, the question was raised by Arjuna that what was the doubt? Arjuna has got into this doubt. On the one hand, Jnanam has to, the knowledge has to save him. On the other hand, Krishna is saying karma is also important. And karma should be performed in the form of a karma yogam. So Arjuna's confusion was that if it is so, that Jnanam is important, karma is also important, how do I distinguish between the two? What is my position? If I have to execute karma yogam, do I outrightly reject Jnanam? Or if I have to execute Jnanamargam or process of knowledge, do I outrightly reject karma? These two questions are confusing Arjuna still. Knowing this very well, Krishna answered straight away that question, saying that Jnanam and karma is not the goal, Krishna is the goal. That's the beauty of that fourth chapter. Krishna is the ultimate goal, not Jnanam or karma. Karma and Jnanam is only the process to get us there. But Krishna says ultimately the goal is Krishna. So in order to reach Krishna, one has to utilize these processes, Jnanam and Karmam. And Krishna also, by chance, had to say to Arjuna, when did this Karma Yogam begin? When did this begin? It began from the time, from very, very long time back. Krishna says that whole system, how it started, started from Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavana Ham Avyayam. From Vaivaswan onwards, this process has started. Vaivaswan means the sun god, through whom Krishna has spoken about this Bhagavad Gita. From Vaivaswan, Manuve Praha, Manu took over from Vivaswan. Manu Chagwe Bravid, Ichwahu got it from Manu. They are all in the solar dynasty, the kings in the solar dynasty. And in that way, this process came down, but in due course, it got lost. It got lost. First it gets deteriorated and then it got lost. The process of these two processes, Karma Margam and Bhakti Margam, has got these two problems. Problem is this, that in either of these processes, it won't stay in its pure form forever. Neither Karmam nor Bhakti. These are the difficulties with Karma Margam and Bhakti Margam. You can always notice that also. Karma Margam, as it was discussed in the beginning, how Krishna spoke about Karma Margam. In the beginning, Karma Yoga was spoken in the beginning to Vaivaswan. And after some period of time, that process got changed. Karma developed into Karma Bhranda. Karma Bhranda means madness. In other words, it became Karma Mimamsa, sacrificing animals and all kinds of different kinds of religious systems developed from Karma Yoga. It was originally intended to purify a person, but eventually it became a cause of entanglement for the living entity. Similar things can develop in bhakti also. In Bhakti Margam also sometimes you find things developing, deteriorating in that way. So, but Jnana Margam is free from that problem. Jnana Margam is, if purely practiced it, either you can practice it in the pure form or you have to come out of it. You couldn't practice Jnana Margam otherwise. Jnanam is always pure because it's transcendental knowledge. So it stays very pure as long as one is capable of maintaining that purity. Otherwise he falls off from that and then he will immediately, he will thrown away from that process. So anyway, in this fourth chapter, Krishna spoke about karmam, how degraded in due course. In different times, how things have developed in different way and people fell off from that. And also Krishna talks about in the fourth chapter something else. That's about the importance of understanding Krishna's appearance. Janma karma jame divyam evam yoveti tattvada tektva deham punar janmane dimame iti sarjunaha. Krishna says so many different things in that. Apart from that, Krishna talks about the chaturvarna maya srishtam, the four varnas and four ashramas, why Krishna has created them, for what benefit, what was the idea of doing that, varna varna ashrama dharmam, how it was created, all these things Krishna has discussed in the fourth chapter. And again, Krishna brings forward the principle of yajnam, sacrifice. Everything should be performed as a sacrifice. Brahma arpanam brahma havar brahma adno brahma nahudam brahma iva tena gandavyam brahma karma samadhinaha. So everything ultimately Krishna says is yajnam. Work has to be yajnam. And everything should be offered to the absolute truth, to Krishna. That is in the form of Brahman, the sacrifices are performed. So this whole fourth chapter, Krishna extended discussion on Karma Yoga and also the ultimate goal as fixing it upon Krishna. And eventually, at the end of that, Krishna says that at the very end of fourth chapter, Krishna talks about the, Krishna says there that the necessity, Shraddhavan labhade jnanam talpara samyade indriyaha jnanam ladhuavaram shadim ajirenadi gachadi. Krishna brought back jnanam again there. In other words, knowledge has become again important in the fourth chapter. Krishna says there that because there is not sufficient inquisitiveness or curiosity on the part of the inquirer or the person who comes to spiritual life, it is only due to lack of that inquisitiveness or lack of inquiry, Krishna says that they are not able to stay in spiritual life. So Krishna tells us why. Shraddhavan labhade jnanam. One who is Shraddha, one who has got Shraddha, the importance of Shraddha, Krishna stresses and talks about that in the end of fourth chapter. And at the very conclusion, Krishna says, Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam. Alpa vandana karmani nibadhanandi dhananjaya. Yoga sanyasta karmanam. Krishna gave important stress to knowledge again at the end of that fourth chapter. So again, jnanam is important, karmam is also important. Krishna is not giving a definite answer to Arjuna at that point. In order to make understand Arjuna, this is how the Upanishads talk about it. Upanishads does not say any time, this is the only thing. No, there is no one answer to that. The answer is all these things are necessary in our advancement in spiritual life. You cannot reject one over the other. And if you start picking and choosing from the Vedic literature what you like to do, then you are actually not following the Vedic authority. That is the point. The Vedic authority means accepting everything in total, not to pick and choose from the Vedas. So that is rejected. Krishna is saying here, jnanam is important, karmam is important, and higher than everything else is bhakti. But jnanam and karmam to reject and say bhakti alone is the conclusion, nothing else will be difficult. Because at the end of this chapter, when you come to the next chapter, you will find in the fifth chapter, Krishna talks about karma sannyasam. Earlier chapter was referred to as jnana karma sannyasa yoga, jnana sannyasam and karma sannyasam. But in the fifth chapter, Krishna begins with this, that who followed jnana nishtha? Jnana nishtha means who followed this jnana margam? Brahmanas followed the jnana margam. Who followed the karma margam? The kshatriyas followed the karma margam. So, jnana margam and karma margam, the two paths, traditionally followed by two different groups. Generally, the brahmanas are brahmanishtas. They are fixed up in the knowledge. They have no activities to perform. The kshatriyas are karmanishtas. they are always ready to act, guided by the Brahminical culture. So Jnanam and Karmam, Brahmana and Kshatriya, or Brahmam and Kshatram, they are the two forces that has to guide the society. When these two elements are missing, then the other two comes in, Vaishyas and the Shudras. And when they come in and they create havoc in the society, then Krishna says that that society will find it very difficult. That is what we find in the modern days also. What happens is because these two elements are missing in the society all over the world, you will find this, that because these two powerful elements in the society have been wiped out because of the influence of the lower modes of nature and the people and the and those who are affected by the rajogunam and tamogunam, they have taken over. Therefore, the society functions in a very helpless situation. Virtually, everyone is driven by their modes of nature. But whatever it is, Krishna says here, Jnana Nishtha and Karma Nishtha is important in a society. Brahmanas with Jnana Nishtha and Kshatriyas with Karma Nishtha, they are the people who can drive the society forwards. Otherwise, the society won't go further. It will go this way, that way, all the time. So anyway, in that fifth chapter, Krishna spoke about Karma Sannyasam and Karma Yogam there. Why Karma Sannyasam and Karma Yogam? Arjuna's confusion was, should I stay with Karmam or should I give up Karmam? This strong doubt was going through Arjuna's mind all the time. Karma Sannyasam seems to be an easy process because then you don't have to do anything. But on the other hand, when Krishna talks about Karma Sannyasam, it is not an easy process for ordinary people to follow. Ultimately, the destination of Karma Sannyasi and Karma Yogi is the same. It's not different. Ultimately, the goal is the destination is the same. But what Krishna says is that Karma Sannyasam is difficult to perform. Therefore, Karma Yogam is better, superior. This is how Krishna puts it to Arjuna. It is better to execute Karma Yogam and reach there than going through Karma Sannyasam. And then Krishna talked about the different sides of Karma Yogam there again. Karma Yoga Vishishyate, Krishna says there in the beginning itself. Sanyasam Karma Yogascha Vishrayasa Karavubhav Tayostu Karma Sanyasal Karma Yoga Vishishyate. Karma Yogam is superior, Krishna says. So in order to make us understand that, Krishna talked about the Karma Yogam to some extent, and also later on in the same chapter, that Kayana Venasabuddha Kevale Indriya Ravi Yogina Karma Kuravandi Sangam Tyaktva Almashuddhaye, that after giving up one's own identity with performer or not realizing himself to be the doer of karma, Krishna says the karma yogi stays away from all, never takes any ownership nor expects the results from karma. He just executes the karma in this world completely, totally detached to the results, and also in full Krishna consciousness. So that is how the fifth chapter comes to an end. When the fifth chapter was over, Krishna has taken two long chapters, actually three chapters, third, fourth and fifth, to discuss this important thing of the Bhagavad Gita called karma. And when one does not take this very seriously and declare himself to be understood Bhagavad Gita, then it will be very hard for him to go in the right direction. He will be misled. Because it is this lack of understanding of Karma Yogam and Karmam that creates so much disturbances in the every society. That particularly this Karmam, principle of Karmam is so important that three chapters Krishna has used to express, to explain this Karma Yogam and the principle of Karma Yogam. And Krishna says when one acts on that platform of Karma Yogam, he gets purified. That is the result from Karma Yogam. He gets purified and then he is ready for meditating on the Absolute Truth, for the Dhyana process. And that is why in the sixth chapter you find Krishna spoke about Dhyana Yogam, the performance of meditation, how one can fix oneself on the process of Dhyana. So the Dhyana Yoga was discussed in the sixth chapter, and immediately after the sixth chapter, Krishna says, due to Yogina Vabisarvesha Malgadena Dara Alpana Shadhavan Bhagade Yomam Same Yukta Damomadam. Krishna says at the end of that chapter, Yogina Vabisarvesha Malgadena Dara Alpana, but he is the greatest yogi who is always carrying me in his heart. Andar Alpana. And Shadhavan Bhagade Yomam. But one who has got seriousness or Shraddha in me, he will get there at the end. Same Yukta Tamamada. He is the most qualified person. Krishna calls him like that. So when this was spoken in the sixth chapter, Krishna Arjuna wanted to know more about it. And that science of yoga, which is what happens from this meditation, how the knowledge develops, the knowledge and its practical application, that is what is discussed in the 7th chapter. So 7th chapter talked about jnana vijnana yoga. Jnanam and vijnanam. Knowledge is, Krishna is always stressing there in the Bhagavad Gita. Jnanam and vijnanam is necessary. In so many places you will find jnana vijnana yoga. Krishna has spoken about that. So jnanam and vijnanam was spoken in the 7th chapter. And at the end of that 7th chapter, Krishna talks about what is known as the goes back into the principle of jnana vijnana yoga, where Krishna talks says there that sadhi bhudadi devamam sadhi yajnam jaye vidu prayana gale mijamam te vidur yukta jayadasah. That adhibhudam adhidevam and adhiyajnam, three things Krishna spoke at the end of that chapter. And when Krishna spoke about those things, Arjuna wanted to know what they are and what's their relationship with the spiritual life. That is why in the 8th chapter, Krishna introduces the letter called Om or Pranavam, or it's called Aksharam. So Aksharam, Brahma Brahmam, Brahmam, the impersonal Brahmam is this Aksharam, Om. And how people use that, how people follow that process for their perfection in spiritual life. That is what that title is called, Akshara Brahma Yogam. Akshara Brahma Yogam is the name what they have given to that particular chapter. It is the realization of Om through chanting the letter Om. The importance of Om and what Om signifies and the Om's importance in the Vedic mantras and in all the Vedas, all that has been discussed. And that is why from there this letter Om has come. And Krishna has discussed that importance of Om in the 8th chapter. After that was discussed in the 8th chapter, at the end of that, Krishna says there, at the end of that, Vedeshu yajneshu tapasu chaivadhaneshu yal punyabhalam pratishtam atyedital sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam uvaiti jadyam. That Krishna says that although all these things do exist, Krishna says, Vedam, Yajnam, Tapas, all these things, Dhanam, also charity. Vedam means studying the Vedas, Yajnam means sacrifices. Yadeshu Yajneshu Tapasya Jaiva, performing austerities and penances, Dhanam, charity. All these things are there. Krishna says, Atyedi Ital Sarvam Idam Viditva. But a person who cannot perform all these things, or who cannot take it very seriously, he should transcend them and come to the platform of Yogi Param Sthanam Ubaidi Chadyam. He comes to the higher position of serving me, taking me, Krishna, seriously and serving him. So when Krishna spoke about that, Arjuna became more inquisitive to know what is now Krishna is saying. First he spoke about different yoga system. Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Karmam, Jnanam, Sanghyam, Ashtangam. So many things Krishna spoke before, Dhyanam, everything. But now Krishna says if that cannot be done, he should... Ultimately, the goal of all these things is to come to me, to take me as the ultimate Supreme Personality and surrender to me. And that is why this chapter, 9th chapter, is important chapter. In Bhagavad Gita, it is one of the most important chapter. You will find something interesting here in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is in an ascending form from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it comes to the top. As soon as it reaches the 8th, 9th and 10th, it is on its pinnacle or it's on its top position. And then again it is climbing down from there. So in other words, if you look at a curve which goes up and comes down, starting from the chapter 1, Bhagavad Gita is telling us to go up, up in the spiritual life. In spiritual life it's going up. As soon as it comes to the 9th chapter, you have reached the stage where you are on the we are on the top of the Bhagavad Gita's platform. The highest platform what Krishna refers to is in this Raja Yoga. That is probably the reason why Krishna has named this chapter as Raja Yoga. Krishna named the chapter. All other chapters, Vedavyas has given the name. This particular chapter, Krishna has given the name as Raja Vidya Raja Yoga. So by 9th chapter, end of the 8th chapter, you will find you have reached the very top of the Bhagavad Gita's knowledge side, and from there one comes down again back to the Jnana Margam and comes down into the other aspects what Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So this 9th chapter is very, very important. And after this 9th chapter, 9th chapter is stressing the importance of bhakti for Krishna, for developing devotion to Krishna. And as soon as Arjuna understood this process, bhakti process, Arjuna was very, very curious to know more about it. And Arjuna asked Krishna, how do I become a devotee? What do I do for that, to become a devotee? In response to that, Krishna says how to begin that process of becoming a devotee. First to recognize Krishna in everything in this world, to see Krishna's presence. So wherever you find any great opulences, or wherever you find great knowledge, wherever you find great strength, great beauty, different things what we consider as great in this world, wherever you find anywhere any of these things, Krishna says you should find me in there. It's me who is coming through them in that way. For example, yadyad vibhudi mal sattvam, that everywhere it is my vibhudi, Arjuna, nothing else. Unfortunately, most of the time we think that, oh, somebody is a great personality. Somebody is a great personality, either a politician or a philosopher or a scientist or a sportsman or a musician or anything in this world. Anywhere, whenever you find something great in someone, Krishna says you should see me there first. It's me who is shining through them. Unfortunately, we forget that. We don't see that. We see that person is important. No, Krishna says you should see me there. And in order to develop that understanding in us, Krishna has given so many examples from the Vedic tradition. Great, great personalities. I am in that. Among the trees, I am this, Ashwatthama. Among the sages, I am Sri Narada Maharshi. Among the elephants, I am Airavatam. Among the horses, I am Ucheshravas. Like this, a number of things Krishna has spoken there. I am that, I am that, I am that. And in Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Uddhava, Tam tu bhagavadeshoham. Among the Bhagavatams, among the great devotees of Krishna, I am Uddhava. He said this to Uddhava also. So, like this, Brahmanyanam balistvam kadushu japayatnyosi vireshu parthaha. Among the great heroes, I am Partha, Arjuna, Krishna says. So like this, Krishna has seen who is who. In other words, Krishna has to tell who is who, not our who is who. Our who is who have no meaning. So Krishna's who is the right who is who. Krishna says that Brahmanyanam balistvam, among the great personalities who had great Brahminical qualities, I am Mahabali, Krishna says. I am Mahabali. Because nobody else did what Mahabali did. Never in the history once it has happened what Mahabali has done. Three planetary systems under his control, handed over to Krishna and puts his feet underneath Krishna's lotus feet and says to him, you measure the third feet, putting your lotus feet on my head. Who else has done this? That made Krishna to think, realize this. All the greatest of all the Brahmical qualifications he found in Mahabali. And who is the head of the demons? Just imagine. Brahmanyanam balistvam kradushuja jabayajnyosi. Among all the sacrifices, there are so many sacrifices in this world. Hundreds and thousands of sacrifices are mentioned in the Vedic literature. But Krishna says, Kradushuja Jabayajnyosi. If you chant the holy name or Jabam, is me. Krishna says, somehow or the other, Krishna has given importance to that. But we forget it. We think, oh, is this Jabam process is a very, not so important. Or other words, we have been chanting, where is this going to end? Or we also think that it doesn't look very highly advanced process, because we think there are so many complicated sacrifices existing, costing a lot of money and a lot of people also. But this Japam process, I am sitting few hours and chanting, Krishna says this is the most important sacrifice. Kradushuja javayajnyosi vireshu parthaha. That among the heroes I am Partha, Krishna says. So like this, in the whole of the 10th chapter is Krishna's vibhudis. Vibhudis means his opulences. That's what Krishna has discussed. When Arjuna heard this from Krishna, this vibhudis of Krishna, immediately Arjuna became very excited. He wanted to see those vibhudis. So Krishna said, having spoken all these things, it's no point now keeping that away from Arjuna. So Krishna decided to show the vibhudis to Arjuna. And that is why you find in the immediately after the 10th chapter, Krishna showed his universal form. All the opulences, what he was talking about, was seen in that universal form, Visharupa Darshanam. So when Arjuna saw that Visharupa Darshanam, Arjuna had no choice except to address Krishna and ask for forgiveness for not realizing Krishna's greatness and thinking about Krishna as his friend. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakedi. I have called you so many times, Krishna, Yadava and all that. And that was not proper for me, because now I see who you are. Krishna says, Arjuna says like that to Krishna. Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalpasam idam yatvaya uktam majasthena mohoyam vigadomama. That is how Arjuna begins that. Madanugrahaya paramam, in order to bless me, in order to bless me, he says to Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, in order to bless me, guhyam adhyalpasam idam, the most confidential knowledge you have revealed to me, which I was not aware of any time before. And that is spiritual in nature, adhyalpasam idam. Yatvayoktam vachasthena, and when I have heard these words from you, mohoyam vigado mama, moham, or the delusion I had, what I was going through has gone away from me. So you can see, by 10th chapter, Arjuna is confirming now, he was in illusion before, in the beginning, and that has gone away even by the 10th chapter itself. Arjuna has completely got relieved from that. From now on, Arjuna is now listening to Krishna on a different platform. He is not just listening to clear away his doubt. He has understood who Krishna is. And when he started realizing Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all Arjuna could do was to continuously pay his obeisances to him. That is why in the whole 11th chapter you will find a series of obeisances. A series of obeisances from Arjuna. What else can you do? Krishna is somewhere so Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna realizes his position as an insignificant jiva. So therefore, jiva's duty is to surrender to the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality. Arjuna pays his obeisances one after the other in that 11th chapter. And at the end of the 11th chapter, Arjuna wanted to know more about the two different kinds of bhakti. Bhakti also, bhakti has two different forms. It manifests in people. And when Arjuna wanted to know more about bhakti, about devotion, Krishna discusses that in the 12th chapter. That is what you find in the 12th chapter, discussion of bhakti. Bhakti Yogam it is called. We will stop there for that part of it, because when we come to the Jnanamargam, the 6 chapters later, we'll discuss that also, how that follows this bhakti process later. Coming back to coming back to the Raja Yogam, we are coming to an end of that chapter. We are coming to an end of that chapter. What we have discussed in the last Sunday was that Krishna spoke few things there. Krishna spoke a few things. Importance of how to see Krishna in the world. That's what Krishna was discussing there. How to see Krishna in the whole creation. Because normally our vision is so limited. And due to our conditioning, we have the tendency to separate everything from Krishna, to take it out of Krishna. Otherwise our relationship with Krishna is very much on a platform of the temple worship. We accept Krishna's presence in the temple, but always we find it difficult to see Krishna's presence in everything else. And Krishna says there, that nature has to go away. That is why Krishna said there, yal karoshi yad asnasi yad juhosi dadasi yal yad tapasyasi gaundeya tal kurusham adarpanam. Everything Krishna says, Arjuna, it has to become one with me. In other words, that yajnam or sacrificing nature has to be left. Our mind is not so broad to accommodate all these things. That is our problem. We run after institutions. We run after hierarchy. We will miss Krishna's point. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasi yal yattavasyasi gaundeya tal kurusham adarpanam. That nothing can take us back home, back to Krishna, except Bhagavad Gita. Everything else is just in the material world to function smoothly, the only things have been created. But so long as we stay away from the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will stay away from Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying here, yal karoshi yad asnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yal yad tapasyasi gaundeya tal kurusham adarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you do, and whatever you eat, everything be a sacrifice for me. In other words, in every activity, our relationship with Krishna has to become more stronger or binding. In other words, that bridge should become stronger. So that is what Krishna expressed there. You will find something interesting here. If you keep Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam side by side, and look at what Krishna says here, and what is written in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find a great relationship between the two. The same principle what Krishna has spoken here. In the Ekadasha Skandam, while the Navayogis, the 9 yogis, when they were talking to Nimi Maharaj in the sacrifice in Mithila, there the same issue was brought up. Here Krishna says, Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasiyal yat tapasasi kaundeya tal kurisham adarpanam. Everything should be offered to me, Krishna says to Arjuna. In the Bhagavatam, if you take it and look at it, you'll find there, kayena va ja manasendriyer va buddhyatmana va prakrate svabhaval karodi yadyal sakalam varasmai narayanaya edi samarpayami. It's exactly the same thing what Krishna says here, spoken by the Navayogis, particularly the first one, Kavi. Kavi spoke this. Kavi mentioned this, that this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Everything becomes in relationship with Krishna. All one's activities becomes in relationship with Krishna. That is perfection of Krishna consciousness. So, kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrate svabhaval. Kayam means body, material body. Vajam means words. Manasendriya, manasa means mind. Indriya means senses. So in other words, everything what we have got, and buddhi, intelligence. Kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrate svabhaval. They all have their own nature. We have no control on that. They will act in its own way. Sometimes we try to control, but often we fail. It will act in its own way. But Krishna, Kavi is saying there, karodi yadyal sakalam varasmaihi, that everything should be performed in a way to please Krishna. And everything should be offered to Krishna. That is the most important thing. Narayanaya edi samarpayami. So one who wants to advance in spiritual path, he has to offer things to Krishna. He can't hold on to himself. Everything. So this is the point what was spoken by Kavi. If you understand that verse properly, you can only recite that verse once, isn't it? Otherwise it will become simply a mechanical arrangement. Sometimes we see this also many times in the temple. They will recite this verse, everybody together they recite. They'll pay their obeisance, they'll come back. And then they come back next day again, they'll recite the same verse. You know, mechanically it becomes a mechanical process. Kayena vaja manasendriyerva buddhyatmana va prakrate svabhaval karodi yadyal sakalam varasmai narayanaya edi samarpayami. What it means is that I offer everything to you, Narayana or Krishna. Everything I am offering to you. This is what it is. That because I have understood that everything belongs to you and my duty is to offer everything to you. I have come to that understanding, so I am now offering everything to you. This is what it means. But often what happens is, we sing it mechanical way. And as soon as we come out, we look for our shoes first. Where is the shoes gone? So, in other words, we have not even offered the shoes to Krishna. What to talk about everything, offering anything else. So, this is how things get changed. When Kavi Maharaj, Kavi Yogi spoke these words, he had one thing in mind. When we started reciting, we have something else in our mind. Just see how things change. So, it is like that. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. We will sing all the verses nicely. When it comes to action, we will act in a way what we like to do. But we will sing the verse, of course, properly. Karodi yadyal sakalam varasmai. And similarly, this verse also. Yal karoshi yadasnasi yajuhosi dadasiyal yattapasyasi gaundeya tal kurushamad arpanam. So Krishna says, when all these things are done properly, then along with that, you will make that progress in the spiritual path. Then, what else? In another words also, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita glow side by side. You cannot separate them out. Shubha Shubha Vale Reiva Mokshase. Verse, if you take verse 28. Shubha Shubha Vale Reiva Mokshase Karma Bandhanehi Sanyasa Yoga Yuktalma Vimuktoma Upeshasi. There, Krishna spoke some characteristics of somebody, someone who is in that situation. What is that? Shubha Shubha Vale Reiva Mokshase Karma Bandhanehi. If one follows this path, Krishna says, he won't have karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam means the bondage from karma. That will not happen to him. He will be freed from that. How will that happen? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, there are personalities who have shown us these things. Who have shown us these two things. That how karma bandhanam won't happen if you understand these verses properly. Shubha shubha vale reiva mokshase karma bandhanehi. That shubham ashubham, auspicious and inauspicious things do happen to everyone. Mokshase karma bandhanehi, he'll be liberated from karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam is the main thing, the bondage of karma. That is what is holding us back here. And freeing from that bondage is liberation. Is liberation. So Bhagavatam, if you look in the Shashta Skandam, in the sixth canto, you'll find there's a personality called Vritrasura. This Vritrasura's previous lifetime was Chitraketu, isn't it? Chitraketu. So Chitrakedu had to accept the body of Ritrasura. We have discussed this when we discussed the sixth canto. So there, this Chitrakedu had to accept the Ritrasura's body, and in the body of Ritrasura he had to fight with Indra. In the battlefield he had to fight with Indra. So when the fight was going on, suddenly our Ritrasura became overwhelmed with the devotion to Krishna. Overwhelmed with devotion to Krishna. The devotion has taken over in his heart. The love for Krishna came up so strongly in his heart. He says to Indra, kill me now so that I can go back to my Supreme Lord, to Krishna. In that way he spoke, Aham Hare Tava Padaya Moolam Dasanudaso Bhavidasmi Bhuya. Nobody else has spoken like the way Ritrasura has spoken. One may think that people like Mahabali, Ritrasura and all, they were born in the demoniac species. But that does not mean that they are anyway second class. We must not take it like that. Oh, we are all first class people. He isn't a demon. No, don't take it like that. We are in a hopeless situation compared to them. They were more fortunate because, you see, their desire for going back to Krishna was so strong. Mahabali as well as Ritrasura. And even Prahlada, who born in a demoniac family, he had that strong desire to. So going back to Krishna, that desire, stronger desire is more important whether you are born in the demigod family or in the demoniac family. That is not so important. Who has got the greatest desire to go back to Krishna? That is more important. And that is what that incident in the Bhagavatam is showing to us. Ritrasura at that point says to Indra that I'm not looking for any emperorship, nor I'm looking for the Lord Brahma's position, nor I'm looking for any other position in this creation. Why? Not even your position, Indra's position. He says to Indra, I don't even look for. Indra's fear was whether anybody will come and take his position. But our Ritrasura made Indra feel that your position has no value for me. Na nagaprishtam. The word used is so apt. Nagaprishtam. Nagaprishtam means, prishtam means the seat. And nagaprishtam, the seat in the heaven. That means your seat. Okay, consider just as an ordinary seat, in other words. Na nagaprishtam. Na japarameshtyam. Na sarvabhavam. Na rasadhivatyam. All these are the top positions in this. In this universe, I don't look for any of these things. And Ritrasura spoke at that time in such a way, only going back to Krishna is my goal, nothing else. That's all I'm looking forward to. When Parikshit Maharaj heard this, and Sudeva Goswami spoke about this to Parikshit, Parikshit was amazed by this particular personality of Ritrasura, and he asked this question. What was this question? Muktanam. There he says there, Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayanam. Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabham Prashandalma Kodesha Vimahamunim. This is the important verse there. Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabham Prashandalma Kodesha Vimahamunim. That Parikshit Maharaj doubt was this. There are so many great personalities who are liberated. Are they not? There are many, many people, not one or two, many, millions of people who are liberated souls. And among them, there are many siddhas also who are acquired very high degree of yogic power, siddhis, or different kinds of siddhis they have got. Muktanam abhisiddhanam. And there are, among many of them, very few are Narayana Parayana. Narayana Parayana means one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So, Muktanam Abhisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Sudurlabha. They are very, very rare. Why? Prashandalma. Their consciousness is so peaceful. They are Prashandalma. Sudurlabha Prashandalma Kodishwabi Mahamune. Mahamune, among the crores and crores, I mean billions of people who are liberated and who are siddhas, such people are very, very rare indeed, he says. Very, very rare indeed, he says like that. Parikshit Maharaj said like this to Sudeva Goswami at this time when Ritrasura's consciousness, because Parikshit was so fixed up seeing that how to become that pure devotee of Krishna. And seeing Ritrasura's devotion, it inspired him so much to speak like that. And that is what is referred to in this word. Shubha shubha velereiva mokshase karma bandhanehi. Our Vrutasura had to act one time as Chitrakedu as a devotee, other times as a demon as a Vrutasura. In either situation, he was not affected. He was still a devotee of Krishna. Body has to do its duty. That is how he said. Body has to do its duty. That as a demon, he has to work as a Vrutasura. As a devotee, he has to work as Chitrakedu. But I am a devotee of Krishna. This is Vrutasura's consciousness was. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Shubha shubha velereiva mokshase karma bandhanehi. Such a person who does not think about the auspiciousness or the inauspiciousness of the situation, he will release from karma. He is not, because he is not looking into the results of karma. Again, the principles of karma yoga comes in there. He is not looking into the principles of karma yoga. He is acting totally transcendental to it as a devotee. That is what Krishna says there. So this is one example in the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to explain this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita. Another example. If you look into fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Maharaj Rishabhadev gave up his body, if you remember, Maharaj Rishabhadev went to Kutajadri. Maharaj Rishabhadev was the first Tirthankara of the Jaina religion, or the Jainas. He is the first Tirthankara. This Rishabhadev, Jaina sannyasam is what he has taken. So that is why you find his sannyasam is little different than the sannyasam of the Vedic tradition. But although he is incarnation of Krishna, Rishabhadev is the incarnation of Krishna. So this Rishabhadev, when he decided to give up his body, he entered into the forest fire and he gave up his body. So the purpose of doing that was, Rishabhadev thought at that time that many people started following him, seeing his peculiar consciousness, peculiar mind and the body. He was not concerned at all about this world. He was freed from all that. But consciousness has gone so high that he could not identify with this material world. The rules and regulations of this world are only there as long as we implement it, isn't it? As long as you transcend this, then what rule and what regulation here? So, Rishabhadev was moving on that consciousness. And so many people were following him at that time. So Rishabhadev wanted to be away from them. He didn't want to be a part of them anymore. That was his nature. So he was going away from them, but they won't leave him. So eventually he decided that the best thing to do is to enter into the forest fire. He saw the fire in Kutajadri and he decided to enter into the forest fire. So while he was entering into the forest fire, so many other living entities also entered into the same fire. And because they gave up the body at the same time as Rishabhadev, they also got liberated. That is the greatness of these great personalities. Krishna's incarnation is Rishabhadev. And Rishabhadev in the fifth canto is a very important personality. He talks about the spiritual life and importance of spiritual life, renunciation, everything very strongly he has spoken in the fifth canto. So this Rishabhadev, obviously, Krishna's powerful incarnation, while he was leaving the body, he took away a lot of living entities along with him. All the animals, all the insects, birds, bees, whoever has fallen into that fire, they all got liberated with him. Just like when Lord Ramachandra gave up his body, everyone who has immersed in the Sarayu river along with him all got liberated and went back to the spiritual world. Similarly, here also you will find the same thing happened with Rishabhadev. So at that time, when Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami spoke about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj heard this and he started lamenting at that time. What was his lamentation? I was not there with Rishabhadev at that time. Had I been there, I would have gone now back to the spiritual world. All this trouble I got into wouldn't have happened. This was going through Parikshit's mind. If I had gone back to Rishabhadev, if I had taken birth at that time and gone back with him, I would not have had to come here. Now I am sitting here with this dead snake, I have thrown it on the sage's neck and waiting for the reaction to come. This is his present situation, isn't it? He is sitting there expecting what is the reaction going to happen. Because Parikshit Maharaj was a great personality, he knew that there will be a reaction for that. He has to experience the reaction. So in this way he was thinking like that. But what you have to remember is, when this thought came through Parikshit's mind, Sudeva Goswami immediately sensed Parikshit's thought. He could see. Parishit Sudev Goswami, we discussed in the Bhagavatam beginning. He can read everyone's mind. Isn't it? He can read. What you are thinking inside is known to him. What is going through your mind is known to him. That is Sukadeva Goswami's position. You see, that Tam Sarva Bhudakadayam Munim Anatosmi. Sukadeva Goswami spoke this in the beginning itself. That this Sukadeva Goswami's special nature is, whenever someone speaks something, immediately he will know what is going through his mind. Because he is present everywhere. Sarva Bhudakadayam. He is present in everyone's heart. Because that realization is like that. Oneness with the Absolute Truth. Sarvabhudakadayamunim anatosmi. That Sudev Goswami understood what was going through Parishit's mind. So immediately he decided to clarify it then and there. That is why you will find in the Bhagavatam that verse.
Rajan bhajar gururalam bhavatam yadunam devam priyakulabadim kochakingarovam astveshamanga bhagavan bhajanam mukundo muktim dadadhi karkhe jalsmana bhakti yogam. Rajan Bhadar Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam.
Sudev Goswami says to Parishit, my dear king, what do you think? He says, Rajan Bhadar Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam. Krishna has been in your family all along the way, isn't it? He was the king of the Yadus. He was the husband of the so many great ladies who are the Krishna's queens. 16,108 wives Krishna had.
Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam.
And he actually protected the Yadavas all the time under all circumstances. And
Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam Astveshamanga Bhagavan Bhajadam Mugundam Devam Priyakulabadim Koshakingarova.
Devam, he was your everything, in other words. The Devam Priyakulabadim Koshakingarova. That he was a servant for you in many times, for your family. Krishna has acted in such a way that he was always doing things what was necessary for the Yadavas and for the Pandavas also, isn't it? You'll see that in the Mahabharata, you'll notice this. Krishna has done so much for them. Why did he do that? All these things.
Rajan Bhadar Gururilam Bhavadam Yadunam.
And then Astyeshamanga Bhagavan Bhavadam Yadu Mukundom. Then all these things Krishna will do. Krishna will do all these things for others. Krishna has no hesitation in doing all these things. Why? Because karma doesn't bind him. He can do anything he wants and still not affected by that. For us, if we do, we have to think twice, should I give any respect to him or not before we do anything? Or should we ignore him? This is how our mind goes. But Krishna had no difficulty. Krishna has such a mind. Krishna's nature is such that everywhere Krishna thinks that they are all my part and parcel. They are my devotees. And I'll give them anything what they need. So that's how Krishna reacted with all this, interacted with all these personalities. Yeah, particularly the Yadavas and the Vrishnis and the Pandavas. Krishna has done like that. But there Krishna says Sudeva Goswami says one thing.
Astyevamanga Bhagavan Mugundo.
Bhagavan Mugundo will give, Mugunda, Krishna will give liberation to all these people. There is no doubt about that. Who? All these Yadavas and Vishnis and Pandavas and everybody. He will give liberation to all of them. There will be no question about that. But then there is one thing, Krishna keeps it back. He keeps it back with him. What is that?
Muktim dadadi karhijals manabhakti yogam.
Muktim dadadi. Mukti he will give freely.
Karhejals mana bhakti yogam.
Bhakti, Krishna will think twice before he gives it to anybody. He will give it to anybody because bhakti also, how does devotion develop in a heart? Not by our show, devotion won't develop. Devotion will develop when Krishna is merciful to us. That is why one should pray to Krishna for devotion, not for anything else. This is the most important thing, message in the Bhagavatam. That if ever you have to ask something to Krishna, this is the only thing worthwhile asking from Krishna.
Muktim dadadi karhijals mana bhakti yogam.
That mukti he offers freely, it's available freely, Sudev Goswami says. But bhakti, Krishna thinks twice or thrice before he offers it to everyone.
Muktim dadadi karhijals mana bhakti yogam.
Bhakti, he thinks twice because when Krishna knows, once he has offered bhakti, devotion to someone, then Krishna has a problem there. Problem is this, that Nirabeksham Munim Shandam Nurvairam Samadarshinam Anumrajamyaham Nityam Puyayetyangrirenubhi. Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says like this, those devotees who have got that bhakti in Krishna towards Krishna and who have reached that state of relationship with Krishna, devotion to Krishna, what happens? Krishna says, Nirabeksham. They have no desire at all. No abeksha. Abeksha means any desires. Any kind of desires, they don't have that anymore. No more desire. Desires are over for them. Nirabeksham munim shandam. Always peaceful. Satisfied within themselves. Munim. They are silent. And at the same time, shandam. Peaceful. Nothing is disturbing them. Nirvairam samadarshinam. Nirvairam means no enmity towards any other living entity. So you can see that that perfect stage of Krishna consciousness means one has to free oneself from all these kind of problems what we have all got with us. Munim shandam nirvairam. Nirvairam means no enmity towards everyone, because they have reached that state of consciousness where they see Krishna is present in all the living entities. So where is the question of enmity towards anyone? Nurvairam samadarshinam. Samadarshinam, equal vision. They don't put somebody on a higher platform and someone on a lower platform and start saying that you are great and you are useless. That's not their business. They are seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Krishna is present in everything. So, nurvairam samadarshinam. Krishna says, those people who have reached that stage, anubrajamyaham nityam. I follow them, Krishna says. Krishna says, I follow them. Such people, such devotees who have reached that state of consciousness, when they are walking in this world, Krishna says, I follow them behind. I follow them behind, Krishna says. Krishna has not spoken this in relationship with a jnani or a yogi or anyone, only for a devotee. But devotee of this kind, who has reached this state, anubrajamyaham nityam. If it is just following, Uddhava asked Krishna, is it necessary for you to follow them? Is it not that they should follow you? Is it not like that? Uddhava asked this question. Krishna says, no, I have to follow them. What is that? Uddhava says, I cannot understand that you have to follow these people, these devotees, such people. Puyayeti angrirenubhi. That was the answer. That Krishna says, when they walk, I take the dust from their feet and put it on my head, so that I can purify myself. This is Krishna's words. Just see how much Krishna considers rare and exclusive his devotion. That Krishna is not talking about ordinary people. Krishna is talking about those great souls who have reached that state of consciousness. When Uddhava asks that question, Krishna says, I get purified by their dust from their feet. Look at Krishna's humility. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom these billions and trillions of universes are going out, coming out, going in. So many Brahmas, Vishnus and Shivas are reporting to him from innumerable universes. And that great personality, Supreme Personality, Krishna's statement is, this is what he thinks about the devotee, of a devotee like that. From this you can see that the position of a devotee is superior. From that point of view. And that is what is reflected in this verse also. That muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam. Mukti Krishna gives freely. There is no difficulty. But not bhakti. Bhakti, before he gives to somebody, he thinks twice. We are all thinking, we are all great devotees of Krishna, isn't it? That's what we are thinking. But Krishna has not put us in the list yet. When we, first of all, let us try to get into the list, first of all, before we declaring to others about our devotion, how great devotees we are. We all have great, great titles and this, that and the other, isn't it? So many paths, this path, that, so many titles we have taken. But titles are okay, but unless you get into that list, you are listed, you are not complete yet. That's what Krishna is saying. Muktim dadahi karhi jil smana bhakti yogam. That bhakti is a rare thing. And that is what happens from this verse you can see in the Bhagavad Gita. Shubha shubha valereivam moksha se karma bandhanehi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vyuktoma amubhaishyasi. That a devotee will not be affected by karma bandhanam. He is doing it for Krishna. That pure consciousness of serving Krishna and that great enthusiasm and great surrender in him. That is what has brought him to that situation. That is what Krishna is looking at the devotee. Has he got that or not? If he has that, then he is going in the right direction. But if he hasn't got it, then any amount of talk will not help. That's what it says. So you can see Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam are so closely related. In so many instances in the Bhagavadam, you will find what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is discussed there. Next verse, if you see, Samoham Sarva Bodeshu Name Deshistina Priya Ebajandidumam Bhaktya Maide Deshu Japyaham. Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bodeshu, equal vision towards all the other living entities. Samoham Sarva Bodeshu Name Deshistina Priya and Ye Bhajandidumam Bhaktya Maide Deshu Japyaham. Such a person who worships me in that way, I also worship him accordingly. Such, in other words, that the reciprocation is total in my relationship with the devotee like that. Who in the Bhagavadam is the best example for this? I don't know whether you have thought about it. That Srimad Bhagavadam gives some personalities who have reached this state. Samoham sarvabhudeshu name deshu sena priya ye bhajandidumam bhaktya maide deshu japiham. That verse is totally, if you apply that, there is one personality, that is Prahlada. If you look at Prahlada, why did Prahlada's consciousness was this? This is a typical personality representing Prahlada. So if you want to understand this Bhagavad Gita's, this verse of 29, the 9th chapter, all you have to do is to understand Prahlada's nature. How did Sudeva Goswami put it there? Nirvairaya Prashandaya Sosudaya Mahalmani. Nirvairaya prashandaya sosudaya mahalmane prahladaya dadruhye hanishyo bivarorjidam. That one point when the demigods and spoke to Krishna crying after they were thrown out from the heavenly planets, what happened was Hiranyakashipu went there and threw away all the demigods from there. They all left. They got frightened and they left. And they were wandering around, not knowing what to do. You see, their situation was very pathetic. Actually, if you read Bhagavatam, you will know. Demigods, that is why Krishna says, don't worry about heavenly planets too much. Because one day, a Hiranyakashipu can walk in and you can be thrown back into this situation again. So, it is not safe either. Even there also, it's not safe. That's what Krishna is saying. So here, Nirvairaya Prashandaya Sosudaya Mahalmane. Hiranyakashipu walked in and immediately all the demigods left there. And they were wandering around in the world what to do. And they changed their dress and they were walking in a incognito, not to be noticed by Hiranyakashipu's people, because if they find out, they'll be in trouble. So they were walking around like that. And they said to Krishna that we are in this situation, do something for us. Aditi Devi has already spoken, mother. And at that time, Krishna says that I have already decided to kill Hiranyakashipu. He will die very soon. So, when did he say that? Krishna says, when the Vedas are thrown away, when the Brahmanas are insulted, when the sacrifices are stopped, when the cows are killed, when all these things happen, I will come down. I will take the action, he said. The demigod says to Krishna, that has all happened long ago. It's not now, it has all happened. Long, long ago, this has all happened. That, what was that? Insulting Vedic literatures were thrown away. Hiranyakashipu said, what Vedas, he said. Nothing to do with me, he said. That was Hiranyakashipu's approach. And apart from that, also he said that the cow should be slaughtered regular basis, he said. Because this Vishnu gets his power from whom? From the Brahmanas. Brahmanas, how do they get their power? From sacrifices. And how do they perform the sacrifices? With ghee. So where is the ghee coming from? The cow. So kill the cow first. So first kill the cow. And then kill all the Brahmanas if possible. So they won't perform sacrifices. And Vishnu gets his strength from the sacrifice. Yet you why Vishnu? It says like that. So Vishnu gets the power from sacrifices. So Vishnu, in order to kill Vishnu, first thing we have to do these things. Stop the sacrifices, kill all the Brahmanas, slaughter all the cows, stop everything else related to that. he says like that. So the demigod says to Krishna, all this has happened long ago and nothing has happened so far. At that time Krishna says, Nirvairaya Prashandaya Sasudaya Mahalpane Prakhladaya Yadadruhi Harishyebhi Varorjidam. If it is like that, the moment he lays his hands on my devotee, Prahlada, who is these characteristics, what is mentioned in that verse? What are that? Nurvairaya Prashandaya. Nurvairam, no enmity towards anyone in this creation. That was Prahlada's greatness. Prahlada's greatness was that, no enmity towards anybody. That no matter, even if it was Hiranyakashipu who tortured him, even for Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada wanted him to be released from his sinful reaction. That is what Prahlada said to Narasimha Murthy later on. You will find Saptamaskandam is so important, the seventh canto, that if you study Saptamaskandam properly, you will get a lot of inspiration in Krishna consciousness because of this personality Prahlada there. Nirvairaya Prashandaya. Prashandaya means always peaceful. Within himself he is very peaceful. Why? Prahladaya, Nirvairaya Prashandaya, Swasudaya Mahalpane. Krishna says that his own son, this Hiranyakashipu's son, when he gets punished by his father, Prahladaya, his name is Prahlada, when he gets punished by him, Yadadruhye Hanishyebi Varorjidam, then I will act immediately, no matter who has given him what kind of boon it is. Whether it is Brahma, Shiva or anybody, doesn't matter. Whoever has given anything, it doesn't matter. I will immediately act at that time. It was then the demigods got the answer. Demigods understood that because by now Hiranyakashipu has started torturing Prahlada. So that has happened. So they wanted him to torture more actually. So that is why demigods started going around the palace of Hiranyakashipu and encouraging Prahlada. With more and more transcendental knowledge that was going to Prahlada. Prahlada was not disturbed by anything. But demigods were the cause behind it. They were encouraging Prahlada to speak very firmly to Hiranyakashipu because they knew that if Prahlada spoke like that to the Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu will react to that. And the reaction, as you know in the Bhagavatam, what all he has done to Prahlada. The result of all that was Hanishyebhi Varorjidam. No matter what boon has been given, his head will go. This was what Krishna spoke. So these words you can see, if you relate with Prahlada, that is the best answer to that. There is not much difficulty to understand these verses when you study Srimad Bhagavatam along with Bhagavad Gita. The relationship is so strong between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Next verse, 30. Abhijayal Sudhiracharo Bhajadeemanan Yabhak Sadureva Samandavya Samyag Vavasidohisa Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmalma Shashwat Chandim Nigachadi Kaundaya Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Pranashadi Mam Hivartha Vabeshatya Yebisi Babayonayo Striyo Vaishastada Shudra Sebiyandi Parangadim Kimpana Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajar Shayastada Anityavasugam Logam Imam Prapivajaswam Manmanaham Albhakto Madhya Jeevam Namaskaro Mama Veshasi Yukteyam Atmanam Alparayana. So, next 4-5 verses. Something very important Krishna is trying to convey there. If you keep these verses in mind, it will give a lot of strength in spiritual life because there's a lot of important things what Krishna has stated there. Abhijel Sudurajaro Bhajademam Ananyabhak. What does it mean? Ananyabhak. Ananyabhak means one who has no reservations, no other thoughts in his mind. Totally accepting Krishna shelter. That is Ananyabhak. One who has not kept anything for himself. Majority of the people, their relationship with Krishna is on a business like. Do this for me, I'll do this for you. Offer this to me, I'll give this to you. If you don't do it, I won't do it. So this is how we are day-to-day basis, we are relating with Krishna. People come to, you don't know how many type of people are there in this world and how many different kinds of relationship they have got with Krishna. They'll come and ask Krishna anything and everything and give him all sorts of trouble. So that is what Krishna wants to avoid, that understanding. Krishna wants to take it away from our mind. Don't come to me with all your list of material desires and start telling me, repeating me, do this, do this, do this. And it makes me, Krishna also sometimes think that I'm sitting here to offer all these things to them, that they are endless needs. So here, that is why that word Ananya Bhak is used. That Abhijayel Subirajaro Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak, Ananya Bhak, without any other thoughts in his mind. Bhajade Imam, who worships me. Now, if that person is a Durajar, Durajar means he is addicted to a lot of sinful activities. Now, sinful activities means what? Sinful activities means distress, isn't it? Anything, when one engages in sinful activities, it will follow him in the form of distress. That is, Shastram very clearly says that. Whenever we are experiencing distress, all you have to do is to think like this, it's my own sinful activities following me. No one else has done anything to me. My own activities are coming back to me. So, at least that will act as a deterrent to perform further sinful activities. But difficulty is that we still don't think like that. So Krishna says here, he is called a Durajaram. Durajaram means he is very much addicted to this sinful life. Then Krishna uses the word Sudurajaram. Sudurajaram means is a superlative degree of the Durajaram. In other words, he has gone completely lost in that. Totally engaged in sense gratification, sinful life. That is Sudurajaram. Abhijayel Sudurajaram Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhag. But if he is worshipping me, Krishna says, even if he is like that, if he worships me, Sadhureva Samandavya, he should be considered as a sadhu or a devotee, Krishna says. Samyak Vyavasito Hisaha. Because he is situated properly. But the fact is, if you are so much addicted to spiritual sinful life, you won't engage in Krishna consciousness. That is also a fact, isn't it? That when one is, you can't do these two things at the same time. It's very, very difficult. That extremely difficult. That you are engaged in continuous sense gratification, sinful activities, and at the same time worshipping Krishna with total surrender and loyalty. That is also not possible. But Krishna says, somehow or the other, if one had that in his early life, but if he has given up that and he has come to me and surrendered to me completely, I will accept him. Krishna is one different than anyone else. Or many other devadas, they put a lot of restrictions on you before you surrender unto him. Krishna is not like that. Krishna wants to carry everyone with him, no matter who it is. He doesn't reject anybody. How can he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can reject anyone in the creation? After all, everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. So therefore, this is Krishna's magnanimity. Or he is so magnanimous that no one is rejected. That is why we say surrender to Krishna, nobody else. For this reason, that even if we are weak, or even if we don't have the strength in us, Krishna has the strength to pull us out from this. Abhijayel Sudurajaro Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhak Sadureva Samandavya Samyak Vavasido Hisa. Krishna says he should be considered as a sadhu because he has taken shelter of me. That is his greatness. So therefore the other things which was disturbing him or which he could not give it up before, he will come out of it eventually. Krishna says there is a guarantee like that. Even if he has followed the process of sinful life, or he was addicted to sinful activities, unable to come out of it due to his anarthas, whatever that was, uncontrolled mind, uncontrolled senses, whatever it was, if he was driven by that, still he will come out from that, Krishna says. Eventually he will come out by my strength. By Krishna's strength, he will come out from that. That's what the important thing is. Not by his strength, Krishna's strength. Because the person whom we surrender to is so powerful. Sadhureva Samandavya. Because Krishna's energy will work in such a way they will be taken out of that. Then, Kshipram bhavati dharma alpa, shashvat chandim nigachadi, kaundeya pradijanihi, name bhakta pranashadi. Very, very soon, Krishna says, that person will become a dharmalpa. Dharmalpa means that he will, through the power of knowledge I give it to him, he will become Krishna conscious and he will be in the right track. He will be moving in the right track. Result will be Shashvat Chandim Nigachani. He will become very, very peaceful inside. all these material anxieties will go away from him. Then Krishna says, Kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyani. Arjuna, go and declare to the world, my devotee will never perish. He says, name bhakta pranashyani. Why did Krishna say this to Arjuna? Because Krishna says, if I say this, people may not believe it, but you can say this. Very clearly you can declare it to the world and let them accept this. Kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyani. Krishna said like this to Arjuna. Now, there are a few things to understand. This is always sometimes confusing to the people. Somebody says sometimes that, oh, if you surrender, then there is everything is taken care of. And once you have surrendered and if you are taken care of, why, how come that I am falling, again he is falling down from spiritual life? All kinds of situations come. And we always question this, isn't it? We always question this. There's some contradiction sometimes people say. Sometimes people say, oh well, is this all true? No, it is only because of our understanding is not proper. Let's understand this a bit more detail. The two kinds of people who come to Krishna, Jnani and the Bhakta, isn't it? Two people come to Krishna, Jnani and Bhakta. Jnani approaches in one way, Bhakta approaches in a different way. Krishna has already made it abundantly clear, devotee is mine, I look after him, it's my duty, I'll protect him. So when Krishna says these things, very explicitly we have to understand that a devotee under all circumstances is sheltered by Krishna. Devotee under all circumstances is sheltered by Krishna. If he is a devotee, and due to some powerful prarabdha karmam or due to some powerful vasanas, if he falls off from spiritual life and he could not continue the spiritual path, Krishna says, I will take care. He will come back eventually. That is why devotionals, we discussed this in the beginning also when we compared about bhakti, jnanam and karmam. The advantages of bhakti is this. Jnani depends on his knowledge for the shelter, isn't it? Jnani depends on his knowledge. His determination and the knowledge that is keeping him going up in the spiritual life. For a yogi, it is his ability to, the ability to perform the different yoga processes. Ashtanga yoga, which is yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi. The eight kinds of yoga system, what he is doing, that is keeping him going. But for a devotee, it is Krishna who is looking after him. That is the difference. For a jnani, it is his jnanam. For a yogi, it is his yogam. For a devotee, it is Krishna. That difference is there. So for a devotee, all these things do apply. Apichel sudhiracharyo bhajadema mananyabhak sadureva samandavya samyag vyavasidohisaha kshipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvachandim nigachadi kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyadi. My devotee will never perish, Krishna says, under any circumstance. If he is a devotee, he will not perish. So this is as far as a devotee is concerned. What happens to a jnani then? That also we have to understand. A jnani, as long as he is following his process of jnanam, and as long as his determination is strong, and also he is able to maintain that vairagyam or renunciation from this world, because jnanamargam does not go with sense gratification. That we have seen many times before. For the jnani, the basic qualification is vairagyam, detachment from everything in this world, isn't it? Whereas for a devotee, it is not absolutely mandatory. In other words, there is something still holding him back to this world. Family or money or fame or this, that, so many things what alluring him in this world to work for. So he's not able to totally give up and come to Krishna. That's the situation. But jnani is not like that. Jnani has finished all that. He has no desire for any of these things. So such a jnani, if he has understood the message properly and is progressing in jnana margam, Krishna says, if he has any prarabdha vasanas that has come and disturbs him, Krishna will strengthen him also. He'll look after him. But on the other hand, if he has understood all these things properly and Krishna's position and the goal of self-realization. That is more important for the jnani. Jnani is looking for self-realization at the end. And the goal of self-realization, which Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnani has understood all these things. And after knowing all these things, still he gives up all these things and goes for materialistic life. Krishna says, I have no obligation towards them. You see? I have no obligation towards the jnanis. So, two different people, Jnanamargam and Bhakti Margam. Bhakta is always protected by Krishna. It's, in other words, it's a safer process to take to than the Jnanamargam. In Jnanam, you are totally dependent on your Jnanam or your knowledge. What you have practiced and followed up throughout your brahmachari life requires a lot of effort and strength from the individual. Otherwise, it is very difficult. And whereas Bhakta, devotee, he is under Krishna's shelter. This is what the important difference between the Jnani and the Bhakta and the devotee. So, while reading these verses, you have to keep these things in mind. Abhijayal sudurācāro bhajanaimā mananyamāk sādhureva samandavya samyang vyavasito hisāha kṣipraṁ bhavati dharmālpa śāśvacchāndim nigacchati kaundaya pratijānihi name bhakta pranashyadim. That in under no circumstances Krishna rejects anyone. Krishna's greatness is that. We are very quick to reject people, isn't it? Saying, oh, he's useless, he's nonsense. You just get rid of him. That's our mind. Krishna is not like, Krishna can't take that position. Everyone is his part and parcel. And he has so much compassion in his dealings with a jnani or a yogi or anyone who comes to spiritual path, Krishna feels pleased with him, no matter what it is. If he comes to spiritual life, Krishna says he is to be glorified because he has understood the purpose of life, number one. Particularly among them, if he surrenders to Krishna and takes complete shelter of Krishna, he considers himself to be the dearest to him, more than anybody else. So that is how Krishna's approach towards the living entity is. That's why you don't find anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita any statement, even those who are worshipping demigods, he says, they are also worshipping me. Vajandi abhiti purvagam. Although it is not totally bona fide way, they are worshipping me, but still they are worshipping me. Krishna is willing to bring them along with him, in spite of all that. Isn't it? So Krishna says that in the last verse, isn't it? Before that, Krishna spoke about this sometime. They are worshipping me, but avidhipurvakam. Not in the proper way, but through the process of worshipping demigods. They are also worshipping me. Krishna has not rejected them all. So everyone, Krishna carries them with him. This is greatness of the Supreme Personality. That is why Krishna is referred to as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has not rejected anyone in this creation. What to talk about the human species? Species which are in the monkeys, in the animals, birds, bees, in every species, Krishna's devotees exist. They have existed in all these different kinds of species, provided they had devotion for Krishna. The Kshipram Bhavati Dharma Alpa Shashvat Shantim Nigacchati Kaundaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. That only thing is, what Krishna expects is that pure devotion should come. Not for selfish reasons. That is not something which Krishna likes very much. That he considers, like Prahlada says, just like a vanik, a businessman, he comes to me. So, not for selfish reasons, when there is pure devotion in someone's heart, Krishna appreciates that and keeps that in his forward. Like, you have so many instances in the Mahabharatam to explain this point. When the Pandavas were in the forest, this is a story from Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam talks about this at length. When the in the Mahabharata times, Pandavas had to spend a long period of time in the forest, isn't it? So on and off, Krishna used to visit them. So in one instance, when Krishna went to see Arjuna, and they were just like friends moving around. They were wandering around somewhere. And they were walking for a long time. And both of them felt they wanted to drink something. They were feeling thirsty. So they went into a house which was a fairly wealthy person who lived there, Arjuna and Krishna sense that the owner of the property was a rich person, and they will offer him something to quench their thirst. And so Arjuna and Krishna walked into the house. When they walked in, the owner or the householder, he was busy in some sacrifice or something at home. And when the guests came, he didn't have enough time to attend to them. So what was their request was to have something to drink. Arjuna put forward the request to them. When Arjuna asked that, the householder said, right at this moment I am busy. If you can come little later, I can offer you something. Answering this to Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna walked out from there. While leaving, Krishna says to Arjuna, I give my complete blessings to this personality, householder, that day by day let him become opulent in his life. Let him become very opulent in his life. Arjuna got confused hearing this special benediction from Krishna. They went further, and after a while they saw a poor old Brahmana sitting in a thatched cottage. He was sitting there and engaged in some spiritual thoughts, naturally, as they have their time for that. So when the Brahmana saw Krishna and Arjuna coming in, Brahmana didn't know Krishna. Most of the people didn't know who Krishna was, even when Krishna was in the planet. They didn't know who Krishna was. Krishna walked in with Arjuna. Brahmana totally accepted them as Vishnu present in the house. That's the Brahminical nature. Paid his obeisances and invited them, and there was nowhere to sit even properly. This was the poverty of the Brahmana. But this Brahmana had one cow in his compound. There was one cow. And this was his only wealth, this one cow. And the cow used to give the milk, Brahmana used to milk the cow. And at the home, that was all what was there. Some milk was there. And Brahmana has made some buttermilk from that. So, not knowing what to do, Brahmana was in a bit of a confusion, that he didn't have anything to offer to the guests. That is what was disturbing him. He has stopped all his spiritual activities even. Probably he was chanting Gayatri or chanting the holy name, whatever it was, he stopped all that. Took responsibility of looking after the guests. As soon as Arjuna mentioned his desire to have something to drink, he brought up all the milk and the buttermilk, whatever he had, what he has got from the cow, which was kept for his own consumption and the family's consumption. He told his wife to bring everything. She brought everything what was in the house and offered to Krishna and Arjuna, to both of them, to drink. Krishna took the whole milk and drank. Arjuna took all the buttermilk and drank everything. Whole bottle was empty. Both of them thanked the Brahmana. There was nothing in the house left. While leaving the house, Krishna says to Arjuna, let that cow die now. You see that cow which Brahmana was keeping? Let it die now. Arjuna was in a tremendous confusion. Only last time, when he went to the rich man's house, Krishna says, let him become opulent, and more opulent than ever before. And to this poor Brahmana who had nothing to look forward to except this cow, Krishna says, let the cow also die now. So Arjuna thought, better to clarify it right now, before we go further, because this is all too much for me. And if this is how the God is, then we have to think twice before we go to him. This is how Arjuna thought at that moment. So Arjuna says to Krishna, Krishna, I can't understand your mercy coming out like this. Krishna says, that is what is difficult for most of the people to understand. For this Brahmana, that cow was the only link to this material world. Only attachment he had was this cow. The other man, he had attachment to everything in this world. So I thought, if I give him a little bit more attachment, he will stay here. He won't come back. For this Brahmana, the last thread was this cow. Because Brahmana was very attached to that cow. Because of its cow representing the Vedic culture. And being a Brahmana, his attachment to the cow was so strong that he couldn't think of anything. Even he gets sick, he didn't mind. But the cow got sick, he will feel disturbed. That is how he was. So such an extent, that strong attachment for the cow. So he says that Krishna realized this, that this is the only attachment he has got. Rest everything he has managed to get out of it. So if that attachment is over, then what else is keeping him here? He can come back to the spiritual world. So Krishna says, this is all what I have done there. Arjuna smiled at Krishna, seeing Krishna's ways of making decisions, which is totally different than the, what will we will say? If we get a lot of money, we will say, Krishna is pleased with me. Isn't it? Because I am such a great devotee, Krishna is offering me everything, I am making so much advancement also. We misunderstand everything in our own way. But Mahabharata is telling us, Krishna's ways of making decisions are little different. They are little different. You have to be a little bit careful when more money is coming in. That is what is warning there. Krishna's warning is there. It is in the history all the time it has proven that more and more material opulences means that Krishna is not going to let you out from here very easily. You will get stuck here for a longer period of time, in other words. So, although money or no money, that is not Krishna's consideration. But to use it as a tool to propaganda, to say that we are advancing in spiritual life is false. That is nonsense. That is no meaning. Shastra doesn't agree with that. That isn't Krishna who has to decide who is making advancement and who is not making advancement. Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam is very clear on these things. When Sudama's story has discussed, what did we find there? Why did Krishna accept Sudama? Because why? What in the Bhagavatam, what does it say about Sudama? Sudama was, that disconnection from the material world was so perfect that wealth was not an attraction for him. Prashanda Alma Jitendriyaha. Prashanda Alma, that peacefulness in him. And Jitendriya, the control of his senses was so absolute, there was no question of anything will allure him. Nothing will attract Sudama. Even the wealth when it was offered to Sudama, Sudama was not attracted by that. But what did he say at that time? For Krishna's sake, I will use these opulences given to me. For Krishna's sake, not for my sake. I don't need it. That is Sudama's consciousness. So, this, in the Bhagavatam, if you read, in the 10th canto, there are three different kinds of devotees discussed there. Devotees in ignorance, devotees in passion, and devotees in goodness. All the stories that comes at the end of Bhagavatam 10th canto are all in the devotees in the mood of goodness. You'll notice that. Shrutadeva, Bahulashwa, and then Vasudeva and Devaki at that time. And also this Sudama story. Everything is those in the mood of goodness. How they have come to a very higher level. And all that they require is this final call from Krishna. So from there you can see from the Bhagavatam that this is the way Krishna differentiates devotees. Krishna, what Krishna sees is unknown to us. What is Krishna's calculations? Who knows? So similarly, in these verses also you have to see it that way. That a devotee under no circumstances will fall. Even if he fall down temporarily, Krishna will bring him back. Krishna won't let him go. Even for jnanis also, if in one lifetime they could not complete the mission, they could not reach the perfection, that jnanam will follow him in his next life. That knowledge what he has acquired in this life will follow him in his next life. It won't leave him. Just like a devotee, his Krishna consciousness will follow him in the next life. That is guaranteed. But if a jnani gives up spiritual life after knowing all these things and have perfect understanding of the value of spiritual life, gives up and goes away, Krishna says, I owe no debt to them. I have no responsibility for them. So that is where Krishna knows take any responsibility. But for a devotee, that fear doesn't have to be there. This is why these two verses are important. Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashvat chandim nigachati kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyari. My devotee will never fall, Krishna says like that, in that particular situation. Actually, while mentioning this story, I have forgotten to say something else. That we see, this is our mind, I'm saying, our mind, how when we look at it. When opulence comes, we think, oh, Krishna has given it to me. When opulence goes, Krishna has taken it away, everything from me. But these are all useless calculations. What is, Kunti Devi said this to Krishna at one point. If you remember, if you study Kunti Devi's prayers properly, you will know these things. What did Kunti Devi say? Snehapashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishu. That vipatasanduna shashval tatradatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal abunar bhavadarshanam. Kuntidevi had to say this to Krishna openly. This is why that prayers of Kuntidevi is so important. That if you reflect on those prayers, it will give you a proper understanding of things. What is that? Vipatasanduna shashval tatradatra jagal guru. Jagal Guru addressing Krishna is the Supreme Spiritual Master. Kuntidevi is saying, give me all the time more and more distress in life. Because when distress happens, what will happen? I will start crying for you, your help. Would I not? That's what I have done all the time. So many instances while in the forest, what Krishna did was, what Kuntidevi did was, every time she had distress, she will pray to Krishna's mercy. And when I pray for your mercy, you will automatically come there to help me. Then I can see you at that time, and this is my good fortune. So actually all those distresses were helpful to me. If those distresses were not there, you would not have come to me. I would not have asked for your help either. So Kunti Devi saw every distress as favorable, isn't it? Vipadasanduna shashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal abunar bhavadarshanam. And what does it mean if I see you again and again like this? Means what? It means that total freedom from cycle of birth and death. No more birth after this. Isn't it? So ultimately I am protected. I am safe when I get this distress. When I don't get the distress, I am in trouble. That's what Kuntidevi is saying like that. You see? Kuntidevi's logic is like that. And in this particular instance, Mahabharatam is a typical example of this. Duryodhana had all the opulences in this world, isn't it? All the opulences of this world. Duryodhana's position as the king at that time, if you read in Mahabharata, you'll find that he was the emperor of the whole world, and also his position as the authority and the opulences he had were such. But what happened at the end? Everything ended up in total disaster. Got beaten up by Bhimasena and to die in the battlefield. And in a very miserable way. Lost everything, lost the army, lost the kingdom, lost the position. And in the fight, he lost everything. And everything he lost. And at the end, he had to die in a miserable way. So, he had everything, at the end came up like this. Pandavas had nothing. They had nothing with them. They were always going through trouble, one way or the other. All that they had was Krishna. Krishna was with them. So the result was that that the opulences or not opulences, not having opulences is not the criteria in spiritual life. Vipado na vipadaha, sambado na sambadaha. That is how it is spoken. Actually, what we consider as disaster in life or distress in life, strictly speaking, is not a distress. Because ultimately, if we are Krishna conscious, that distress will bring us closer to Krishna. Sambado na sambadaha. Actually, wealth is not a wealth, really any wealth. Because if you start thinking, wealth will protect me all the time, it will take you away from Krishna all the time. Isn't it? Because you start taking shelter of wealth and start thinking, this wealth will protect me, so let me keep the wealth first and then I'll do something extra for Krishna. So that's common nature in the human mind. So, vibhado na vibhadaha, sambhado na sambhadaha. That is what Kuntidevi said at that point. Everyone in the material world is also looking for happiness, anandam. Anandam is the goal. Everyone is looking for anandam. Only thing is, we do not know, because so many things are putting limitations on us, isn't it? What are these limitations? Desham, space. We are limited by space, isn't it? That you can move around within certain area. Or you are limited. This is the limitation of space. Limitation of time. In the sense that when you accept a material body, you are under the control of time. That is only a certain amount of time you are left with in this world. That is the limitation of time. So, desham and kalam are two limitations imposed on us at birth itself. At birth itself, no matter who it is, everyone is imposed on this limitation, with these limitations. So, we are trying to get out of this. That is our mentality. We don't want this conditions on us. And that is why a man who goes to the pub to drink, this is what he is trying to escape from. He don't want to know, remember these things in his mind, that such and such a thing is limiting me. He wants freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from these things. But only thing is, he's searching in the wrong way. He tries to intoxicate his senses and tries to escape from that. So, but ultimately, the goal is, the desire is there in everyone to free oneself from the deshakalam limitations, time and space limitations. Therefore, it is important to know that Krishna consciousness is a process easy to execute, but to be careful about the principles involved in the Krishna consciousness. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastada anityamasukam logam imam prapya bhajasvam. Then in concluding this chapter of Rajayogam, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if such people who have fallen down and who have become victimized by sense gratification and sinful activities, if such people, if I accept them and protect them, what to talk about the great devotees? Kim punar brahmana punyaha. Great brahmanas who have surrendered themselves and who are so controlled in their mind and senses and who have developed a high degree of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, where is the question of me rejecting them? This was what Krishna was saying to them. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastadaha. Great devotees, where is the question of me rejecting them? Rajarshayastadaha. Great rajarshis, kings who are rajarshis like Parikshit, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ambarish and so many others, where is the question of me rejecting them? Krishna asked this question to Arjuna. Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastadaha. Why? Anityam asukham logam. This material life is temporary. Material life is temporary. It's not permanent. Anityam asukham logam. And it's full of miseries also. It is not a place where you can live happily forever. It is not possible. No matter what you try to adjust here, it will not work. That's what Krishna is saying. So from these words, we have to understand that the nature of the material world itself is like that. And no matter how much adjustments we make here, it is not going to resolve the problem. But still we will continue making adjustments. Anityam asukham logam. And then Krishna says, imam prapya bhajasvamam. Come back to me and worship me and come back to me. That is the solution to the problem. So this ninth chapter is more or less coming to an end. In other words, Krishna wanted to stress upon Arjuna that devotion is the superior force that will work. Easy to execute and pleasing to Krishna. Easy to execute and pleasing to Krishna. But as long as we don't make it a business. As long as we don't make it a business. In certain circumstances, devotees approach Krishna in distress. There is no question about that. There is distress, and distress becomes a problem in approaching Krishna. For example, illnesses, sometimes serious illness, may cause a distress for the mind. So, in such a situation, asking Krishna's help is not a wrong thing. It doesn't mean that one has no right to ask for anything. But simply for increasing the sense gratification, if one approaches Krishna, Krishna condemns that. But for a devotee's distress, normally Krishna also knows the distress of a devotee. Krishna, when he gives the distress to a devotee, he knows very well what he can take and what he can't. He is aware of that. And he also knows that by taking the distress, the devotee is more or less freeing himself from his own prarabdham. The powerful karma cycle, karma chakram, what is enveloping him, or the powerful force of karma which is holding him, he is also getting slowly released from that. So Krishna has done everything with good intention for us. But sometimes a devotee may find it difficult to take too much of material distress. At that time he approaches Krishna for help. And that is not condemned by Krishna any time. What Krishna condemns is, when devotee makes his relationship with Krishna purely on a business platform, that and then to declare to the world that I am a devotee, Krishna does not accept that. So this is how the Raja Yogam chapter is coming to an end. At the end, before concluding, Krishna says one verse, which is a very important verse. Manmana bhavat bhakto madhya jivam namaskuru mamayeshasi yuktaivam atmanam malparayanam. In the previous verse, Krishna says, Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastada anityam asukham logam imam prapibhajasvamam. A very important point, Krishna has kept it in that verse. What is that? Important point is this. As long as one is in spiritual life, as long as one is in spiritual life, Krishna says, I take him seriously. Krishna says, I take him very seriously. Because if he has come to spiritual life, if he is executing spiritual processes, Krishna considers that he is situated in the right track. He is situated in the right track. And he also says there, Krishna says there, if his mind is attached to me, his seriousness is in me, then he is a happy person. If his mind is not attached to me, his mind is engaged in all the other material sense gratification in this world, then Krishna says he is in distress forever. In other words, through that kimpunar, that word, the way Krishna has questioned that, what will happen then? What can happen? Kimpunar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastada anityam asukham logam imam prapibhajasvamam. That's implied in that verse. Krishna says one who is in the path of self-realization or advancing spiritually, keeping me as the goal and objective at the end, he is situated rightly and he is enjoying happiness. Even in this material world, he will be happy. Krishna says, what to talk about his life after death, after leaving the body. For the other person, who has not kept me as the goal in his life, even in this world, he is in distress. Krishna says, that is the most important point from that verse, from the last verse. And in the end, Krishna says, manmana bhav mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamaveshyate yukteivam atmanam malparayanam. In this chapter, in this verse, Krishna brings everybody together. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamaveshyate yukteivam atmanam malparayanam. Everyone is dear to Krishna, says there. Manmana, mana means mind. Manmana, that means one who is thinking about Krishna all the time. Dhyanam, meditation. Meditation. One who is performing Dhyana Yoga. Krishna says, he is dear to me. Madbhakto, one who is a devotee, he is also dear to me. Madhyaji mam namaskuru, one who, yaji means one who is performing sacrifices, karma. So, Dhyana Yogi, Bhakta and Kama Yogi, all of them are dear to me. Namaskuru, paying their obeisances to me. Mama Veshasi Yukteivam Almaram Alparayanam. And one who is thinking about me in relationship with the spiritual life, in other words, the process of Jnanam also is covered there. So all of them are dear to me. They will come back to me. Krishna says, Manmanabhav Madbhakto Madhyajivam Namaskuru Mama Veshasi Yukteivam Almaram Alparayanam. But in that, you can notice, again, Krishna has given an importance to the devotee. Atmanam malparayana, malparayana. There is a little bit more stress on the devotee side. Why? Because he is malparayana. He has taken my shelter. So there, Krishna is giving a lot of shelter to the devotee in all these different different approaches. One who is meditating on Krishna, one who is performing sacrifices, karma yogam, one who is a bhakta, jnani, everyone is dear to them. But Krishna says, Atmanam malparayanam, that devotee will come to me at the end. Idi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishalsu, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Rajaguhya Yoga Nama, Nama Dhyayaha. So, with this, the 9th chapter come to an end. So, Rajayoga is what we discussed in this 9th chapter. As I mentioned before, Krishna has spoken about this Rajayoga very high, because this is the very importance of bhakti has been discussed in the Rajayoga. Krishna also eliminated so many misconceptions of bhakti, because people have misconceptions about bhakti also. They take it, they understand bhakti in one way and think that everything else is, I am a devotee and I have nothing to bother about others and I have nothing to do with everything else and rules and regulations don't apply to me. I am above that. All these kind of foolish understanding also can come from bhakti, because Krishna has spoken about bhakta so high. But that is not allowed. That is not accepted also by Krishna anywhere. In the Bhagavatam, this is discussed in the Bhagavatam much more in detail. Sometimes we think that the rules and regulations of this world do not apply to us. Therefore, I do not respect the laws of the country, I do not respect the laws of the world. That is not correct, because there is a time in devotional life when all these things one can give up. And that has to happen in a natural way, not for my convenience. Just like the tendency sometimes, the tendency among the devotees, what can happen is, because I am devoted to Krishna, I do not have to respect others, other living entities. Because I am a devotee, so why do I bother? This attitude can come. Or if fallen into a position of a devotee's life also, it can happen that due to his relationship with Krishna or his attachment for Krishna, sometimes tend to ignore that other living entities are also part and parcel of Krishna, and tend to ignore their interest as well. That's one level. Another level, it can happen that because I am a devotee, the rules of this world, the laws of this world, which has been created by the human society for a smooth flow of things, they don't apply to me. In other words, suppose a devotee decides that traffic lights don't apply to me anymore, I'll just drive through. Do you expect Krishna to protect him from that? No. Krishna doesn't protect him from any devotee like that, no matter who it is. He has to follow the traffic light. That is the law, and that applies to him as well. So, but there are situations when devotee comes to such conclusions also. We can see that many times. They think, I am a devotee, so I am not bound by any rules and regulations, because I am a devotee. So that Krishna clarifies this in the 9th chapter. In the Bhagavadam, it is a little bit more advanced understanding comes to us in the Bhagavadam. Why? At one instance, this question came up. When can one give up the rules and regulations? Isn't it? When can one give it up? Because if it is like that, if I have to follow the rules and regulations, do I have to follow it all the way through my life? No, it's not necessary. But there are certain things that will happen in life which will not allow you to follow the rules and regulations anymore. Up to that point, you have to follow the rules and regulations. That is the rule. That rules and regulations are such that you will become incapable or helpless to follow the rules and regulations. Up to that stage, you have to follow the rules and regulations. Everyone has to follow. Tektva swadhammam charanam bhujam harir bhajanno bhakveda padetha dhoyedi yatrakva vabhadrama bhudamushyakim ko vartayapto bhajadam swadharmada. Srinarada Maharshi spoke to Vedavyasa Maharshi while at the introduction of Srimad Bhagavadam. Tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harir bhajan. That if one has given up all his swadharmam, all his responsibility, swadharma means duty, to the family, to the society, to the all various kinds of things. If one has given up all that, bhajan avakveda pade tadho yadi, if he falls from that, what will happen to him? Nothing will happen to him. Yatra kava bhadrama bhudamushyagim, that will anything inauspicious happens to him? Sri Narada Maharshi said to Vedavyas, so there this question was discussed, and the example given for that is Villumangalam. Villumangalam is the finest example for this. Villumangalam has exhibited this in his life in one or two instances. That once in his early life, Villumangalam was sitting on the banks of the river, Nila River. Nila River, he was used to worship the deity. He used to come to the river with all his disciples. They used to come together. And Villumangalam used to sit there and take some sand and build one deity of Krishna. Sand mixed with water, you can easily build a deity of Krishna. And Villumangalam used to sit there and glorify Krishna of this deity what he has made. After the worship was over, he will throw the deity into the river again, and they will all walk away from there. So these disciples of Villumangalam, who are very attached to him, they will sit with him and listen to him what he has got to say. Every time Villumangalam spoke a verse, this deity will shake its head approving the verse. That is what was Vilumangalam was like that. It will approve. Vilumangalam's personal relationship with Krishna was so strong that he will shake, the head will shake. Whenever the deity shook the hand, the disciples will write it down, that verse. They were all very intelligent and learned devotees, very learned, that they had great admiration for Vilumangalam, and they have traveled with him all the time. For some verses, when Vilumangalam spoke, deity won't say anything. They will leave those verses. They won't write it. And that is why, how this book, Krishna Karnamritam, came into existence. The word itself, as it denotes, Krishna's, Karna means ears, Amritam, nectar to Krishna's eyes. In other words, the way Vilumangalam spoke was so pleasant to Krishna that Krishna had to shake its head to approve the verses. So, one instance, Vilumangalam was reciting so many verses and the disciples were noting down. After that they all went, they wrote down some verses and they left. Sometimes four or five verses like that Vilumangalam used to recite and Krishna used to shake his head and the disciples used to write it down. So they were constantly accompanying Vilumangalam all the time. In one instance what happened was, Vilumangalam was on his own. He was on his own. He came to the river and he was sitting underneath the tree, a huge banyan tree on the Nala river bank. You can still go and see these places where Vilumangalam ancestors lived. They all come to what you call as Anyam. Anyam means they don't exist anymore. Because when a great devotee appears in a family, that family comes to extinction. They won't be there after some time. Because Krishna has said that if such a great soul appears, all the others who appear in that family all get liberated. And then eventually the family tree comes to a stop. So those times when Vilumangalam lived, obviously he spent time at the river bank in reciting these verses. And one instance, Vilumangalam enjoyed walking along the river and came to the banks of this river, and underneath the banyan tree he sat there. And the problem with Vilumangalam was, any time he sat anywhere, immediately the mind will go into Krishna's pastimes. It has come to that stage in him. He could not stay away from thinking about Krishna. One instance it so happened, he sat down and he slept off underneath the tree. He slept off. Slept off means not like our way of sleeping. We sleep very well, don't we? Vilumangalam's sleep was not so good. As soon as he slept, all the pastimes started coming one after the other in the dreams. It started appearing. So these pastimes, one after the other, started appearing and he was enjoying it. Enjoying to such an extent that he was a part of that pastime. Right from the appearance to right up to Krishna's leaving the planet, these pastimes were coming one after the other in front of him. And Vilumangalam could not resist because his consciousness has gone so high. It didn't even exist in, not even aware of this world, what he was doing, where he was, nothing. Simply absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna, he was just in that dreams, he was sleeping like that. So after some time, a group of people came. And when they all came up, they stood next to him. He was sitting in, you know, the banyan trees, they built around the banyan tree with the bricks so that people could circumambulate the tree. Banyan tree is Krishna. Krishna says, among the trees I am Ashwatthama, isn't it? Ashwatthama is me. So that's why you'll find people circumambulating banyan tree. In so many places, in big temples, you'll find outside a banyan tree. And they will build a circular construction around the banyan tree so people could circumambulate the banyan tree. So it was underneath one of these banyan tree. Banyan tree actually has nothing useful for us, materially I'm saying. The trunk is useless. The leaves probably the goats may eat, nobody else. You can't even make the, matchbox, even you can't use that. The wood is so useless. So in every other way it is useless, but it is huge and it lasts for thousands of years. Thousands of years it stands there. 3,000, 4,000 years, some banyan trees stand there. And by the time it gets its full growth, it will be so big, it gives so much shade to all around. So many temples have them around the temples, and it is considered to be an auspicious thing to be next to the temple. So those days were such that the temples and banyan trees, there were plenty. Ulamangalam sat underneath one of these banyan trees and he slept off. So all these personal people came to see Ulamangalam there, and Ulamangalam was suddenly woken up from his sleep. Pastimes were over, Ulamangalam woke up. But as you know, when you come out of a dream, the dream doesn't go away straight away, would it? It won't leave you, especially if it's a good dream. Bad dream means you will curse yourself and then walk away from there, or try to do something else to get the mind out of it. But if it's a good dream, which happens very rarely though, we sit down and think what was happening in the dream, isn't it? After all, it is something, subtle relationship with the soul and the spirit and the super soul. Something is going on in the mind. Although the modern psychologists will say, oh, we know everything. They don't know anything about it. They just tell like this. No, if you ask them why it has been created like that, then they don't know. But they know everything, but they don't know why it's been created. Why this swapnam state has been created in us. We could have as well existed in Jagrat state all the time, isn't it? Like the demigods, they don't go through all the three states. They have to exist in Jagrat most of the time. They don't even close their eyes. So why can't they create us like that? Why they have given this swapnam state to us? There is no answer. Can anybody answer that? Can any of these great psychologists tell us, or psychiatrists, whoever it is, can tell us why these three states of existence has been given to us? No, they have no answer to that. That's not our area, they say. Mm-hmm. We don't discuss that. We only discuss what happens in that dream. So little information here and there, they have got it. Based on that, they declare themselves to be jnanis on that. Anyway, here, Ulamangalam woke up from this dream and he was not able to forget the dream because it was such a pleasant dream he was going through. So these people, personalities who come there and standing there in front of him, Ulamangalam looked at them and asked them, who are you lot? Where have you come from now? What brought you here? Ulamangalam could not understand what their intentions were. And they were all very respectful to him also. So one of them said to them that we are Snana Devada. Snana Devada means predominating deity of taking bath, bathing. You may wonder why there is a predominating deity for taking bath. Yes, there is. For everything we do, there is a predominating deity. As I mentioned before, all the senses are demigods. The different demigods, according from the, in the light of the Upanishads, all the demigods are manifested in our body as different senses. You know, so different senses in the body are nothing but demigods' presence in our body in different senses, and you can't ignore them. But if you ask the medical experts, they say there is nothing like that. It's all blood and muscle and bone and flesh and marrow and all these things. That's their understanding. But for us, for the people who are accepting the Vedic authority, they know that the presence of the demigods in the body is very vital. So these, similarly for bathing, there is a demigod. So they said, we are Snana Devada. Yes? Snana Devada says. And who are you? He said. So they said, another group of people said, we are Sandhyavandana Devada. Sandhyavandana Devada means the predominating deity for Sandhyavandana. Sandhyavandana means there is three Sandhya in a day. Prabhadam, Madhyandinam and Sayam. Sayam Sandhya. Prabhadam means the morning hours. Madhyandinam, middle of the day. Sayandinam is the Madhyandinam, and Sayandinam is the evening one. So three different times you are supposed to offer your prayers to the Supreme Lord. So those who are in the traditional Vedic culture, they follow these things. So there, they say that we are the predominating deities of these Sandhyavandanam. That's what we are. And who are you? There was another group of people there. They said, we are come from Pitralokam, forefathers. From their world we had come. I see. So what do you all want? Why are you all here? So they say to him, Ulamangalam, you are a sannyasi, aren't you? Yes, I am. I am a sannyasi. But sannyasi is supposed to bathe in the morning first thing, isn't it? Sannyasi can't sit around watch television in the morning, can he? Sannyasi is supposed to get up. First thing he has to bathe in the morning. And there is a lot of duties recommended for sannyasi, is it not? They said to sannyasi, to Ulamangalam. Ulamangalam said, yes, I am not denying that, yes. But do you know what time it is? They says to Ulamangalam. Ulamangalam says, I don't know what time it is. I've been sitting here, he said. Now it's about middle of the day now. Whole of the morning has gone. So we were thinking that if sannyasis like you do not follow these rules and regulations properly, what will happen to us? Because when you offer sannyasis ablutions, all these people are profited from that. Sandhyavandana Devata, Smana Devata, Pitta Devata, they are all profited from the ablutions from the sannyasi. Sannyasi's offerings in the morning. So if you don't do all that, what will happen to us? They said like that to Villamangalam. Villamangalam said to them that I'm very sorry, he says. Sandhyavandana Vadramastu Bhavado. My dear Sandhyavandana Devata, my obeisances unto you. I am very, very sorry, my obeisances unto you. Bho Snana Dubhyam Namo. Snana Devata, my obeisances unto you also. Bho Snana Dubhyam Namo Bho Deva Pidarascha Darpanavido Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. Pitra Devadas, my obeisances unto you also. So he paid obeisances to all of them, one after the other. But then he said, Bho Deva Pidarascha Darpanavido Naham Kshama Kshamyadam. You should forgive me because I am qualified to be forgiven. I should be forgiven for what I have done. Because I can't help it. It's not my mistake, he said. So they were all asking Villamangalam, it's not your mistake? What do you mean? You didn't get up in the morning in time. You were sitting here and sleeping at this banyan tree for the whole morning. And now you are telling me that you couldn't help it. Why? Yatra kva vinisheda Yadavagulotam sasyakam sadvisham snaram snaram akhilam tadami haram manye kimanye name. It's something has happened to me. As soon as I sat down, immediately kamsadvisham smaram smaram. Kamsadvisha is who? Krishna, Kamsa's enemy. He came and he started playing inside. And when he started playing inside, I couldn't do anything. What can I do? I couldn't ask him to go because I was absorbed in that totally. I was helpless about it. Yatra kva vinisheda yadavakulotam sasya kamsadvisham. Yadavakula means the Yadava dynasty. In that, the jewel of the Yadava dynasty. An enemy of Kamsa. Smaram smaramagham tadami akhalam manyekim anyename. When I started, my mind got absorbed in that, I could not remember any of my obligations to anybody, either to Smana Devada or to Pitra Devada or to Sandhyavandana Devada. I forgot all my obligations, he says. But is it my fault? It's not my fault, because Krishna came in and started this inside, this pastimes inside, and I got caught up in that. What can I do? So Villamangalam gave this excuse and told them, now you can also go. That's all. That's it. Sandhyavandana Bhadramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Dubhyam Namo Bhodeva Pidarascha Darpanavidhau Naham Kshama Kshamyadam Yatra Kva Vinisheda Yadavagulotam Sasya Kamsadvisham Smaram Smaramagam Tadami Hadalam Manye Kimanye Name. When Krishna comes and plays like this, what can I do about it? This is the time when one can give up Swadharmam. When Krishna comes to your heart to such an extent and starts playing there, at that time there is no more obligations to the material world. All our material obligations you can give up. Up to that time, if one gives up material obligations and put oneself up in the spiritual position, one day, by some reason, if one falls down, will become a laughing stock of the whole world. Then that means you are virtually not ready there to be there. You are cheating the world. Smaram smaram akham haramidadalam manye kimanye name. So this understanding of bhakti from this point of view is what is discussed in this ninth chapter. The topmost pure devotion of Krishna consciousness. That is the topic what is discussed in the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter is not a topic for material, mundane materialists to link their bhakti with Krishna. That is not what is discussed. That is why it's called a Raja Yogam. If our material mundane devotion is Raja Yogam, then we may as well pack up Bhagavad Gita and go home. That is why the importance of Bhagavad Gita is this. Pure devotion is what Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, and that too through this chapter of Raja Yoga. We'll discuss the 10th chapter next Sunday. And meanwhile, what you have to remember is, we are on the top of the Bhagavad Gita. As I mentioned before, we follow from the bottom, come up to the top, and it is the top. And from now on, you will find Krishna brings it down to the level of Jnani and even to the final conclusions. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.